You're listening to Bison Report Radio, presented by 24/7 Sports.
You guys have done a great job for Bison Nation throughout the years here. Great to be on with you.
Last time you had me on, I told you guys were the best in the business, and I really mean that. Your coverage of Bison basketball is always top-notch, and the players, the coaches, the fans, we all appreciate it.
I mean, I think you and your staff now have done an amazing job with the Bison Report. Again, I think it gives NDSU fans an outlet to go to for good football coverage, elite basketball coverage, and everything recruiting.
You know, I really appreciate you guys, Bison Report, for what you guys do for Bison football.
Here's your host and publisher of Bison Report, Ross Uglow.
What's up, Bison fans, and welcome to this National Signing Day special brought to you by Herd and Horns. And joining me is our recruiting guy and the founder of Bison Report, who loves the intro just as much as all of you guys. He was dancing, and I could see it, and it was spectacular. Ryan Burns, how are you, buddy?
I'm good. I mean, listening to that intro, as you said, I mean, it's come a long way than when I first thought this thing was going to be. And I'm so happy that this thing continues to thrive. And that's all thanks to you.
Yeah, appreciate you, man. National Signing Day. You've obviously got a big day tomorrow over there at PJ Fleck Camp. And we've got a big day at in Fargo as well. Kind of want to get your thoughts on this class as a whole. An interesting class. I don't think... I'm excited to see the quarterback play, but not necessarily the three-star get like Cole Payton was last year. They're not taking a scholarship tailback this year. With COVID, you've got basically two freshman backs that they think a lot of, and TK Marshall and Dom Ganella, and then beyond that, Breca Capinu from last year. So no tailbacks. That makes this a kind of an interesting NDSU class, who, by the way, just lost Ashton Beers to Minnesota and just lost Mason Ellis to KU.
Yeah, welcome to college football recruiting now, where I think everybody has seen how much success NDSU has had. So I can assure you that when I'm talking to whether it's Minnesota or whether it's just other Power 5 programs, everybody's watching to see who NDSU has got committed. I can assure you, there are multiple Power 5 programs, including Matt Campbell's Iowa State, where they're watching all the Dakota school commits. And that's where even Matt Campbell flipped an SDSU commit today from here in the state of Minnesota. But I think just being able for NDSU to get Carson Hegarty, like, that was a guy that I know Alan True watched, who's our Midwest guy here for 24/7 Sports. And, you know, he was very bullish with him. I think he had him as like an 85 or an 87. And that's the type of kid that doesn't exactly end up in Fargo very often. And that's just the caliber of athlete that kid kind of is.
For sure. And I mean, that's the big, I think the shining light is this wide receiver class, man. You talk about Christian Watson almost certainly on his way to the NFL. I think as at least a day two pick. Right now, Shrine Bowl, I think the Senior Bowl is whiffing on him, and I think he's going to tear Indianapolis up, burn it to the absolute ground from a height, weight, speed, agility standpoint. But you've got a significant hole there. And boy, when Carson Hegarty and Mekhi Collins join Bryce Lance, who just redshirted this year, that's going to be an extremely long, extremely athletic wide receiver room.
A lot of size. And again, I don't have to tell you, if you have speed and you have it to go with 6'3" plus, you're going to probably win a lot of jump balls, and you're probably going to be able to get some things down the field moving. You're going to be an absolute magnet in the red zone as well. And that's where you look at how I think at 24/7 Sports at least has them rated, goes Carson, and then it goes your guy from Mankato West there. So a lot of speed, a lot of size, and that's exactly what they need without potentially Christian Watson coming back.
For sure. And with we're talking about 24/7 Sports, you're talking about two of the top four recruits in school history in Mekhi Collins at 4 and Carson Hegarty at 1. That's big time.
It is big time. I mean, it's like, I mean, again, I remember the days of covering all these guys like Christian Watson. Again, I think I was the one talking to him back in the day. And, you know, for whatever the reason was, it wasn't highly rated coming out of Florida. And it ended up being, he has this amazing career. And as you say, may be a top 100 pick in the next NFL draft. And that's where I don't think it's a coincidence that you have success with a guy like Watson. And then look at who your top two rated commits are. Big, long, athletic receivers. Exactly. It's almost like things like that matter.
Absolutely. All right. We're going to get into a couple different guys that I have, you know, kind of big, well-developed opinions on. But I want to talk trenches with you a little bit here. And the reason I want to talk trenches is because you're the guy. You're my guy. And, in Minnesota, I want to talk about Andy Thompson, edge defender out of Grand Rapids, Minnesota. I want to talk about Logan Larson, defensive tackle on East Ridge in St. Paul. And I want to talk about a guy who's really interesting to me, and I'm going to need a pronunciation check on the last name in case I screw this up. But Toby Anini from East Ridge as well. I want to talk about those defensive guys up front from the Minnesota area.
Yeah, I can tell you firsthand, you know, I've seen Logan and Toby at camp, and they're very different defensive linemen. And that's where Logan, he has the highest motor of any defensive lineman that I saw at a camp this year. And I mean, that is an absolute compliment, because this kid, no matter where he went, whether it was a Dakota camp, whether it was a Minnesota camp, whether it was a giant satellite camp like Lindenwood down in Missouri, the same report I kept getting over and over again is this kid's motor, and he's incredibly strong. Now, I think he probably ends up as a three technique at the collegiate level. He's not the tallest guy in the world, but this kid is incredibly strong, and he does, I mean, he just, it's always at 100%. And I think there's something to be said for that for a defensive lineman. And then you mentioned Toby, a little bit different body type than Logan. He is taller, 6'3", 230 pounds. He's still learning about how to potentially become an edge. But if he can be unlocked in terms of things like that, I think he's got the twitch. I think he's got the length to be an impact edge guy there, certainly out of East Ridge High School there in Woodbury.
Absolutely. Those were the guys. And I'm going to have you kind of start with your part, because this next player is my answer to one of your questions. So you've got a few questions lined up for me, and then we have kind of a staggering number of kids that are stopping by the show. Five separate commits to North Dakota State football that are signing their letters of intent today. Really, really excited to get that many kids involved in the show.
Yeah. I mean, that's awesome that you're able to get so many of these kids. And so that's where, I guess my first question would be this. I mean, if you had to look at this recruiting class as a whole and you get into the superlatives, and the first one I'd ask you is, who do you think is the class MVP? And now, the class MVP can mean the best player, the best recruiter. It can mean whatever you want it to mean. But if you think of the class MVP for this 2022 recruiting class for the Bison, who stands out?
I mean, the guy that stands out the most to me, and if you want to talk MVP, is one of, I believe, the earliest commits. And that's Austin Altepeter out of Moorhead, the linebacker, 6'2", 210-pound, three-star athlete, the number 15 linebacker in the state of Minnesota, top 24/7 kid. I mean, top 250 linebacker in the country, in Austin Altepeter. I had FBS offer from Eastern Michigan, had FBS interest from Iowa State, got the UND, the USD, the SDSU offer, the whole shooting match. But I just, with him committing that early, you always want to sort of draw, and man, you talk about Carson Hagerly certainly in this light as well, but you want to be able to draw a border around Fargo-Moorhead. And unless, you know, it's a guy like Connor McGovern, who's going to Mizzou and just, you know, is that level of a player, you want to be able to draw that wall around FM and just say, we are not letting Division I athletes get out of Fargo-Moorhead. And there are a couple of guys that NDSU had talked to from that Moorhead class in Jack Tyken and the cornerback kid that's at UND, whose name is escaping me right now. And I don't know if those were, you know, dollar to dollar competing offers in UND won. And frankly, I don't really care. But Altepeter was the shining jewel of that spud class. And I think the impact, like our opinion of him at 24/7 Sports, the impact that he has a chance to have. And again, just being able to draw that wall around Fargo-Moorhead and say the two dogs for sure here are Hagerly and Altapeter, and they need to play for the Bison, and they are. All right, and in that, not necessarily in that light, but our first, you talk about drawing a wall, draw around a wall around my heart for this guy, the first Division I football player from Hatton Northwood, my hometown, go Thunder, Kelby Azure. He's going to play fullback, tight end here at North Dakota State. Just an absolute mountain of a young man, was dominant there for Hatton Northwood, but had such a fun time talking to this young man. Obviously, you know, still there with a lot of teachers that taught me, and I mean, we're talking about Hatton's got 500 people in it. Northwood has 900. We're not talking about big towns. So him being the first D1 player and coming here to North Dakota State to play for his state university and his state's football program is really, really cool. Hey, Kelby, just wanted to start this off by saying congratulations. Just so folks know, this is conversation previous to signing day. So what are your plans for tomorrow? I guess we can get it kicked off that way.
Tomorrow they want us to, you have to wait till after 7 a.m. to sign. So they want us to get that in sent soon as possible. But then we'll have a little signing day here at the school.
One sec. I'm sorry.
Oh, you're good.
That was unfortunate timing.
All good.
All right. Get this started again.
Okay.
All right. So what is your plan, I guess, for tomorrow? We'll get things started that way.
Tomorrow they want us to sign around 7 a.m. in the morning, and you can't do it before that. So they want us to get all the information just sent to them in the morning. And then later on in the morning, we'll have like a signing day at the school where we set up a booth and take pictures and all that.
So I guess what have you had going on since your commitment? Because you've been committed for a while. Were you able to kind of, fend off other coaches? I mean, you were pretty steadfast in that your recruitment was closed. What have these months been like since you made that commitment?
You've been able to focus more on like the last, your senior year of football as well, but you're still building all the relationships with the NDSU coaching staff, and it's just gotten stronger relationships with them and even some of the players that I was with on like the official visit 2 weeks ago or a week and a half ago.
How much fun has it been to kind of be a fan of this team? And obviously you're not, you know, enrolled, but I'm sure as somebody who's committed to the program, you sort of feel a part of this run. How have Saturdays been for you guys and your family?
It's been very fun living 50 miles from the dome. It's very easy and accessible to get to the dome on Saturdays and just enjoy it and enjoy the year. Yeah, it's just fun. Dreams are like coming to reality now at this point.
Excuse me. Where does the NDSU staff seeing you fit in positionally? Are you playing basketball right now? And if you are, do you feel like you're going to have to add a bunch of weight after the season's over?
Right now they have me going in as a tight end fullback. And yeah, I am playing basketball right now. And on my official visit, Coach Roll said, don't come in overweight. He said, if you come in 225, that's perfect. And he said, just don't drop to like 210, of course.
Sure. So what have you seen from the tight ends and fullbacks this year that's got you excited about joining that room?
They're just workhorses. They go out there and compete every day, and you can just see it through all the tight ends and fullbacks. And it's going to be fun next year learning under Noah Gindorf as he comes back. So it's going to be someone just to look up to and have that role model there as your first year as you get your base set.
Yeah, you must have been excited to see. Obviously, you never want it to go down the way that it did with Noah having an injury. But, man, it's got to be cool to have an NFL-level guy who had already accepted an invite to an All-Star game. It has to be cool to have him kind of there to show you the ropes, at least for one season.
Oh, it's going to be awesome. Coach Roll said, you don't have to be the guy to ask all the questions. You can just sit there and learn, watch and learn throughout the whole year. And see how the little things he does in practice, whether it comes to notes or footwork and all that stuff.
How close is this group of commits? I know, you know, there are often big Snapchat groups or, you know, a big text chain. How often do you guys communicate as a group that is committed to this school, but maybe hasn't physically been together all at once?
More often than not, we do have a big Snap group going, and then everyone knows like everyone. And then also everyone has like their little groups that they know as of right now. So we're meeting people as we go along, and for us to not all to be together, all together at one time or in a group. So it's kind of hard that way, but it's still nice knowing of everyone. And when you see someone, you know them. So it'd be easier to start a conversation come the summer or when you see them in the future.
You're the first Hatton Northwood kid in a long, long time to play Division I football. How cool is it to kind of carry that for this program and to you know, be that guy for where you are from?
It's very cool and exciting. I was talking with one of my teachers, and he said I'm actually the first guy, because people previous went to play at NDSU or UND. They were D2 at the time, so it's fun setting the base for everyone here and having the support from your teachers, staff at school, and also the community is just unbelievable.
All right. Thanks, Kelby. Say hi to your dad and say hi to Mrs. Berger for me.
Sounds good. Thank you.
All right. See ya.
See ya.
Once again, go Thunder. And thank you to Kelby for taking the time to be with us. All right, Ryan, what do you got next?
All right. Next one for you would be this. Again, we're talking signing day superlatives. So let's talk about instant impact. And let's start on the defensive side of the ball. Now, obviously, it's difficult to come in year one or even year two to potentially make an impact on a program and get meaningful snaps. But if you had to pick one guy from this NDSU class on defense, who comes to mind?
Nathaniel Staling, your guy.
My guy. Was able to see him at a camp in like February. And I see, you know, this kid from Brainerd, and he's with the quarterbacks. And I'm like, why are you with the quarterbacks? And I look at his testing sheet, and he's like 6'2", 215. I'm like, you're built like a linebacker. What are we doing here? And then lo and behold, what happens just 9 months later? The man is going to play linebacker at North Dakota State.
And you talk about a lineage, man. Let's talk about all the great Minnesota high school quarterbacks that have succeeded at linebacker in the state, let's just say on defense. I mean, you talk about a guy like Carlton Littlejohn coming and playing that linebacker spot, starting basically for 4 years as a phenomenal player. I believe Robbie Grimsley was a high school quarterback excelling at safety. James Hendricks coming in as a quarterback and leaving North Dakota State as an All-American safety. And people, of course, will remember poor Esley Thornton out of Bismarck never quite being able to jump Carson Wentz on the depth chart at QB and therefore starting at the outside linebacker position as well. Matt Entz loves him, some guys on defense who played a little QB in high school. And Nathaniel, as we're going to talk about real shortly, is really been blessed with that Mike linebacker role. I mean, it's not like they've given him the starting role, but they have expressed to him that that's where they see him. And you talk about a kid right now, 6'2 and a half, 220 pounds, that's already bigger than the guy they've had starting at Mike and Jackson Hankey for 3 years. And you have opportunity, obviously, with Hankey moving on. I don't know how sold they are on Nick Kubitz, who's the current third string Mike, the second string Mike, Mason Hofstedt, also moving on. And I'm not saying he's going to start as a true freshman. In fact, I pretty darn guarantee you he's not. But early in his career, if he can be the player that we think he is, being force-fed into this Mike spot that has a clear and obvious opening coming up. And that's why he's my instant impact defense guy, because I'm high on him. You're high on him. He's got Mike size, and there is a clear Mike opportunity on the way without a surefire stud, you know, waiting in the wings, because they don't know, you know, we thought 2 years ago that Luke Wirtz was going to be this surefire stud, picks NDSU over Kansas State, three-star kid. He's got a non-football back injury right now that he's working back from. Yes, they expect him to be back in the spring, but even even Luke doesn't have that many years left in the program. So I think Nathaniel Stalling, if he's the type of player that you and I think he could be, really has a chance to potentially contribute early. And by the way, I think they'll four-game him or redshirt him. But the second that redshirt is off, I think will be an absolute assassin on teams.
I mean, I don't think I would disagree with him. I mean, the size and athleticism, and even if you pop on the tape, the kid's physical. And again, if you have the size, if you have the athleticism, and to play linebacker, you better be willing to run through a brick wall. And from watching some things on tape from him this fall, he certainly is.
All right, let's bring Nathaniel on right now. Here with Nathaniel Stalling out of Brainerd, Minnesota. Got to ask you, I guess, what does your day look like tomorrow? A little behind the curtain, folks. This is 6 o'clock at night prior to signing day. So this is a young man on the eve of one of the coolest days in his life. Want to kind of just kind of set the scene for you. What do the next 12, 14 hours look like for you?
Yeah, so the next 12 to 14 hours, starting now, I will, after this, I'll start doing my homework, work up on a few assignments, study for quizzes and tests. I got four of them this week, believe it or not. But after that, I try to get to bed decently early. I lift Monday, Tuesday, Thursday, Friday, so tomorrow's my off day, which is good, so I get to sleep in, and then I'll go to school. I'll go through my whole day, and then tomorrow I have an MRI for my left shoulder, and then after that it'll be straight to signing, which is super exciting.
Is your school going to do a ceremony thing for you guys?
I haven't heard of any other athletes, so I'm not like too sure on that.
It might just be you and a fax machine.
I honestly think it might just be me. Yeah,
it's all right. It's okay.
I have a few friends coming, my grandparents, a lot of my close family, my coaches. It's in a large meeting room, like right when you enter the building. So I'm hoping a good chunk of people show up. I think that'd be cool, but it really means a lot to me when the people who I love and care about are there. So
how freeing has it been? I believe you were a late June commit. You have gone through your entire, football season now, but really not stressing about the recruiting side of it. You knew where you were going. I'm sure it was cool not only to be able to focus on your high school team, but also to kind of be a part of this run that NDSU is on right now, probably watching them every Saturday. How has that been?
I mean, it's been awesome. It's been super fun, tuning into the NDSU games. Like, I'll always be checking the scores on Saturday, and I was fortunate enough to make it up to one or two of the games this season. But it's been super awesome. I'm happy I committed early, and I knew right away that it was the right choice, and there was no second guessing. I knew it was the right choice, and I was able to enjoy my senior season, have a lot of fun, be with the guys, and just keep up on NDSU football.
I know that Grant Olson will be your position coach. I know he recruits the Twin Cities. Brainerd, not exactly the Twin Cities. Who was your area recruiter, and what kind of relationships do you feel like you've built with the guys that recruited you?
My recruiter was Randy Hedberg, quarterback coach and associate head coach for NDSU. He's a good man. I like him a lot. We had a great relationship. We talked over the phone several times. Super positive guy, and I very happy with my relationship with him, and he's been awesome. So yeah.
Played how much defense did you play at Brainerd?
I was full. Well, I guess so. My sophomore year played no defense. Junior year played no defense. Senior year, I was full time defense with offense too.
Sure, because you're a quarterback, and that's something that is interesting to me because, man, you can go down the list. Esley Thornton won a national championship, starting Sam linebacker. Carlton Littlejohn was a high school quarterback. I believe Robbie Grimsley was a high school quarterback. James Hendricks obviously came to North Dakota State as a quarterback and then became an All-American defensive back. What is it about you QBs that makes the defensive side of the ball so easy for you?
I guess as a QB, you're always making reads and you're supposed to know what the defenders are doing and coverages and whatnot. So it just kind of translates to defense and you see the field a little bit better. So back to that question you were talking about before, another thing about Randy, he recruited me as a quarterback initially and he saw my stature and I think he's the one who said I would be good as a linebacker. So I do owe that to him as well.
Oh, right on. Okay. That's an interesting piece of information. I'm not sure that I knew that one. You're coming in with another Minnesota linebacker with its pretty high profile in Austin Altipeter, not necessarily just with Austin, but how together is this group? I think, you know, it's a cool thing. Today's day and age, Snapchat, text messages, you know, a big long group Twitter DM. I don't know how exactly it's getting done, but you see these classes, you know, become groups and add guys in as they commit. And all of a sudden you're not meeting each other for the first time in June. You feel like you've known each other your entire senior years.
Right. Yeah. I mean, we had the All-Star game about 2-3 weeks ago and there were 7 NDSU commits at that, 3 on the North team. And I think 4 on the South team. And we all kind of connected and we're all like good friends. I mean, it's a super good crew. I'm really happy with the NDSU commits. They're all a bunch of great guys and I really cannot wait to play with them. And we stay in touch as well. So
you mentioned that All-Star game with 7 NDSU commits. I'm going to put you on the spot a little bit here. Of those 7 guys, and I'm just talking about on the field, who really jumped out to you?
I would say Makai. Because when I was on the field, I was playing defense, so I didn't get to see like any of the defensive NDSU commits. But Makai, he was catching balls left and right. He's a good player. Makai Collins.
Yeah, Makai is actually going to be on the show, and we're going to call him immediately after we're done talking to you. It's an exciting young group of wide receivers to talk about. Makai, you know, Carson Hagerly's got 3 stars on him. Bryce Lance had 3 stars on him last year out of Marshall, Minnesota. That is an up and coming and exciting young room. Speaking of exciting, how you watch? Obviously, you've got Jackson Hankey on his way out of the program. Jasir Cox going to take an additional COVID year, but then he'll be gone. There's some opportunity there in that linebacker room. James Kaser also coming back. Technically was a senior, and he'll be gone after next year as well. A lot of opportunity coming up in that linebacker room. Is that something that you've talked to the staff about or that they've made aware to you that, like, hey, there are snaps on the way?
Not necessarily, I guess. I'm just ready for any opportunity that comes my way. You know, I'll do as they say. I'm just going to work hard and do my best, but yeah.
What's your, as far as like height and weight, that's always something that people find interesting with linebackers. What's your height and weight right now? What have they asked you to show up as, and what is their projection after your peanut butter sandwich and chocolate milk here with Mr. Kramer?
Yeah. So right now I'm 6'2", 220. And I'm pretty sure I'm supposed to arrive at 220 pounds. And I think they want me like when I play at like 235, 240, so 15, 20 pounds.
So they must see you as an inside linebacker.
Yeah, Mike linebacker, middle linebacker.
Right on. And okay, that makes a lot of sense. One more here, and we'll let you go. Of all the things, whether it's on an official visit, something that you saw, you know, part of the facilities, part of the future facilities, teammates, what's the one thing that you just can't wait to be a Bison? What are you really excited about as far as becoming a part of this program?
Honestly, the aside from just the fantastic coaching staff, just the culture and tradition. I've worn like an NDSU sweatshirt and I'll be in the cities or St. Cloud, you know, just doing whatever. And people will come up to me and they'll be like, once a Bison, always a Bison. And I just think that's awesome. I want to be a part of something like that. I just think that is incredible. You know what I'm saying? So, definitely culture and tradition and just the community that NDSU has. It's really remarkable. So,
all right, Nathaniel, thank you so much. Good luck tomorrow and congratulations.
I appreciate it. Thank you.
Certainly appreciate Nathaniel taking the time to chat with us. That was a fun conversation. Like I said, we got into some of the stuff that Ryan and I had just talked about with him and kind of why I see him as potentially somebody who might be ready to go earlier rather than later.
So this is going to lead me, and I think even Nathaniel may have foreshadowed for us a little bit here, but let's switch to the other side of the ball. Signing day superlative, instant impact offense. Now, I think we may have talked about maybe a couple of guys who may be your choice, but who are you going to go with from this 22 offensive class?
Mekhi Collins, Mankato West, he's ready. I mean, you can see his body composition. You talk about guys that have made an instant impact on offense. And if they're not, from a true freshman, you talk about true freshmen that have made an instant impact. You go back and it's almost always running backs and wide receivers. Quarterbacks usually aren't ready, though Cam Miller had to be last spring, but quarterbacks usually aren't ready. Tight ends just have too much to learn. There's too many aspects to that. And almost all of the linemen that they take are underweight. And they're brought there because most of the guys that are 6'6", 300 and can play are already going to the Big Ten or the Big 12. So the Bison get the 6'6", 250 guys like Max Rader, and we're going to talk to him a little bit, and then they hang 60 pounds of good weight on them, and all of a sudden you've got FCS All-Americans, you got Billy Turner, you got Joe Hag, you got Cordell Volson, you got NFL offensive linemen. And so for those guys, it's really tough to be instant impact offense. True freshmen, though, that you've seen have an impact, guys like Phoenix Sproles, who's on the team right now, catching touchdowns in late season stuff from Easton Stick, baby. And that's where I think opportunity meets talent in Carson Hagerly out of West Fargo, or excuse me, in both of them, to be honest with you, but in Mekhi Collins out of Mankato West.
Well, you even mentioned it. Chris Kleiman was involved in that one. I believe Kansas State put in an offer there. Brian Anderson, the wide receivers coach, has a long history of recruiting the state of Minnesota. Was with the Gophers at a time, and that's where when it came down to it, he said, well, do I want to go to Manhattan or do I want to go to Fargo? He chose Fargo.
It's a big-time win, man, and like I said, one of the best top four recruits in the history of North Dakota State football, just from a 24/7 sports standpoint, but that is legitimate. I mean, you go look, and I just think, you know, if these numbers are accurate, and who knows, but you go and look at our profiles and you've got 6'4", 205, and then you got Hagerly at 6'3", 180. And I'm not saying that Hagerly won't have his red shirt pulled. I'm not even saying he's not ready. But if you just look at pictures of Mekhi and you watch film of Mekhi, you see a college wide receiver playing high school football. And that's why I think he has the chance for instant impact on offense. Plus, as I mentioned, we're talking about talent meeting opportunity, and the opportunity is that Christian Watson is leaving, and so that is where at that X position I think you could have a tremendous competition between, I think, Jake Lippi. If he gets healthy, he's going to kind of be your bigger receiver that's going to throw his name in the hat, that's been there for a bit, but after and then Zach Mathis, I think, but Zach is sort of got a specific role, being 6 foot six, being kind of a possession guy, down in and down out. Bryce Lance versus Carson Hagerly versus Mekhi Collins versus Jake Lippi, I think it has a chance to be absolutely fascinating in the fall.
That's a lot of speed. That's a lot of length. That's a lot of athleticism. Now it's young, but you certainly can see the ceiling. You can see the upside there.
All right, let's bring on Mr. Mekhi Collins right now. All right, here we go with Mekhi Collins, wide receiver out of Mankato West. How you doing, man? Sure. You excited? Just a little bit behind the scenes, about 6 o'clock at night, the evening before signing day. And what are your next, 16, 18 hours look like?
I'd say for the rest of the night, I'm just gonna chill. You know, I'm just anxious for tomorrow morning to actually sign those papers. But once I sign the papers and make it official, tomorrow morning. That's just what my day consists of from there on out, is just congratulations and happiness at that point.
You know, you see, you know, a couple guys from your class, and look, it's not just happening at North Dakota State, it happens all over the place. You know, 18-year-old kids have a tendency to change their minds. Guys have lost a couple kids out of this class, and I know you made a point of committing in August and, you know, wanting to close that part of the book. My question to you is, how well did coaches from other schools respect that? And you know, how much contact did you feel like you had to fend off, or was it more like, I really am committed to North Dakota State, and I just am not going to talk about this anymore?
Yeah, no, when I committed, I definitely had to text a couple coaches that I was pretty close with in some sort cut ties. But most of the coaches I talked to were really cool about it. They congratulated me, wished me luck in my future, and I'd say there's probably like a couple coaches that continued to recruit me, but in the end, I just continued to tell them that I was committed, and I made up my mind. So,
talk to me about your relationship with Coach Pauly, because I think, you know, he's done, just in my opinion, an exceptional job with the North Dakota State receivers, whether it be, you know, the development of Christian Watson, the type of player he was when he got here and the type of player he'll be leaving coming out, or just kind of getting these dudes ready to play. What's Coach Pauly's relationship with you like?
It's actually really close. I think Coach Pauly is probably the coach that I've built the best relationship with out of all the coaching staff, and I've talked to a lot of them, but Pauly's just a down-to-earth dude, and he's just really cool, and he really, really wants to see me succeed, and that just really set NDSU and him and the coaching staff apart from all the other coaching staffs. They just really want to see you succeed. They're always there for you. They're always making sure you're doing the right thing, and they just care for you so much, and that just really, really set them apart and made me really happy.
I think, you know, 2021 is an interesting time as far as, you know, when you used to commit to a school, then you'd meet all the guys that you committed with in, you know, June or July for summer workouts and fall camp, et cetera, et cetera. Now there's Snapchat and Twitter DMs and text, you know, group chats on Apple, you know, on iPhone, whatever. You have to feel like you know this class of 2022 pretty well already, even if you guys haven't all been in the same physical place.
Oh, yeah. Coming to camps and NDSU and meeting a bunch of the dudes there, and, you know, meeting dudes from basketball or from like AAU, things like that. Just knowing all the dudes already before we even get there is just makes us that much closer, and just makes me that more excited. Like knowing that I'm going to build a great relationship with all of these dudes just really, really excites me.
So we just got off the phone with Nathaniel Staling, and he mentioned that he was in an all-star game with you. And I'll be very honest with you. I asked him, of all the dudes that were there, and he said there were seven of you committed to North Dakota State, who stood out the most? And he said Makai. Now, you do not have to answer Nathaniel. I think that he'll let you off on that one. But same question. I mean, of all the dudes that you met, and I'm just talking about on the field, of all the dudes for that sure. you met at that all-star game and you really got to see them work, which of these Minnesota Bison from class of 22 impressed you the most?
I would say from my team standpoint in practice, Logan Larson really stood out to me. He was pushing everybody. He was our juice guy. He was pushing everybody. He was making sure everybody was doing the right thing while having fun still in practice. But I would say on the field, from my receiver standpoint, going against Darius was a pretty good matchup, I would say, because he's a really good DB, and they both got bright futures. But that goes for everybody committed to NDSU. We all have bright futures, and it's going to be exciting.
Specifically talking about Darius Gibbons.
Yeah.
Sure. You guys have tremendous shoes to fill. I mean, there's no two ways about it. One is going to be in the league, but that's what's going to happen. And, you know, shortly thereafter that, Phoenix Sproles is going to move on from North Dakota State after next season. So you're the understanding that there are snaps on the way. There is a featured role on the way. There's also some just absolute dogs from the last two classes in yourself and Carson Hagerly, a three-star out of West Fargo, and of course, Bryce Lance out of Marshall, having redshirted this year. I mean, are you guys aware of just how nasty this receiver group could be?
Oh, yeah. I've been told multiple times that once we get to NDSU, it's going to be a different story. And I'm excited to see how we step into Christian Watson and Phoenix Bro's shoes and things like that and see how we can progress in our years at NDSU. But, no, yeah, for sure. I know what you mean with the, how much upside we have, and it's going to be really exciting. I mean, I'm looking forward to it.
How tall are you right now, and what do you weigh?
I'm 6'4", and I weigh 205 right now.
And are you hooping right now?
I am, yep.
So have they told you anything about, like, a weight to show up at?
Oh, they have not yet, no.
Okay. So you're just going to play, and then have they told you what your college playing weight, like, ideally is?
No, they have not yet.
Okay. That's fine. We just there's such a fascination around here with that first Kramer year when you're in the weight room. So we always we always ask and see, you know, what the expectations have been spent. But how much fun has it been, Makai, to understand for this long that you're committed to this program, and so you've been able to follow this entire season? I would assume that you know, your day after the game, your coaches probably don't ask a ton of you on Saturdays, so I'm guessing you've really had the chance to watch a ton of Bison football this year.
Yes, sir. It's actually been really exciting to watch, I'll be honest. I've been to a couple games this year, and even just watching it on TV or on my phone or anything, and just watching it just makes me that much more excited, because the tradition they have and the family they've built, you can just tell it all clicks together when they play. And it's just great to watch. The defense, they're energy filled, they're always all over the place. It's just so fun to watch. I love it.
All right, Makai, one more and we're going to let you go. Of all the things, whether it's a teammate you're going to get to play with, someone who's on the roster now, the new facilities, the future facilities, whatever, from the times you've been in North Dakota State, what is making you the most excited to put that pen to paper tomorrow? Why are you the most excited to become a Bison?
I think it's got to be playing on Saturdays. When I was there, watching all the people fill up the dome just gave me chills, honestly. It just made me so excited, and I'm just excited to play and just put on for Fargo.
All right, thanks, Makai. Congratulations, yes, and have fun tomorrow.
I appreciate it. Thank you very much.
Again, really cool of Makai to take time out of, you know, the night before the coolest day of his life to come on and chat with us. We really appreciate that. All right, what do you got?
Two more sunny day superlatives for you. So the next one, maybe it's one that people don't think about all the time. It's the highest ceiling. Now, again, you talk about recruiting, you talk about player development, you talk about a ceiling, and you talk about a floor. Now, I think I have an idea of who you're going to be going with, because I think we've talked a lot about him. But when you look at someone who could have the highest ceiling in this class, could be potentially playing on Sundays, who stands out?
Carson Hagerly. And to be the number one recruit in the history of North Dakota State football. As you mentioned, your guy, Alan True, put a very serious rating on this kid, 88.627. So, I mean, but this is a top 1,000 kid, the number 52 wide receiver, in the country. And, I mean, he's legit. He is absolutely legit. As far as you look at who was interested in him, you have a Nevada offer, you have an Army West Point offer. He goes into all the different people that have offered him. Minnesota talked to him about defense. Wisconsin talked to him about defense. Nebraska talked to him about defense. Wyoming, obviously, with the full ride offer. Toledo with the full ride offer. Every Dakota school was in. He just has unlimited potential as far as the type of athlete he is. He is a legitimate 6'3". You talk about that X position. You talk about the featured receiver. I just think if you really talk about a ceiling, this has nothing to do with the fact that the kid went to West Fargo. I don't care. He could be from Brainerd or Warner, South Dakota, or Omaha. But I'm just talking about tape, measurables, length, and frankly, offer list. And offer list is important. Like, it does matter the level of other football programs that were interested in you. And I am just so impressed with the type of young man he is as well. You'll see that in the interview that we do, but Hegerle really had a lot of options, especially if he was willing to try the defensive side of the football. And ultimately it didn't matter. He wanted to play wide receiver. He wanted to do so at NDSU.
I mean, you mentioned it. I mean, why is he so highly rated? And I mean, it's not just by us. And that's where the composite you mentioned has him in his 86, I think, 86-27. I think we at 24-7 have him in his 87. So that means another recruiting service, whether it was ESPN, whether it was Rivals, also rated him that way. We're not the only ones seeing it this way. And while I'm not Alan True, I can tell you, I remember having a lot of conversations with him about Carson. And it wasn't just his on-the-field tape, which was very good, but it was what he did on the track and field. I mean, he has some legitimate times. You can see the athleticism. It verifies the athleticism. He's got the size. And that's where we think that there are Power 5 programs that are absolutely missing on this kid. Now, whether that was because he wanted to play receiver versus what some of the maybe the Big Ten schools wanted him to play defense, well, too bad for them. He's going to be going to Fargo. But the size, the speed, and what we also see as a multi-sport athlete is very legit, Ross.
It absolutely is. And his father, Eric, played football here at North Dakota State. His sister is like an all-American NAI volleyball player at Jamestown. A very, very, very good volleyball player. Athletic family, athletic kid, and a really fun chat that I was able to have with Carson today. And we'll roll that for you guys right now. All right, Carson. Congratulations, obviously, on signing. Just for people behind the curtain, Carson and I are doing this on Tuesday afternoon, so prior to his signing with North Dakota State. But what are the big plans? What does your day look like tomorrow?
So I wake up probably about 8:30, get to the school, and then I sign about 9 a.m. tomorrow. Then I have some interviews, and that's about it for tomorrow.
Sounds good. Your dad played at North Dakota State, correct?
He did, yep.
And you've got quite the athletic family. I believe your sister is an absolute freak show volleyball player.
yep.
Did your dad, what was the dynamic there? I'm sure he had like maybe a gently guiding hand towards North Dakota State, but how much was kind of his advice and how much too did you sort of just, let him know that this was going to be your choice as well?
Yeah, for sure. So my parents actually didn't push me towards NDSU too much. They obviously like would love me to go there, but they wanted it to be my decision as well. So I kind of took my time in the recruiting process, visited all the schools I could, and I finally made my decision, and they were super happy about it. So I'm really grateful for that.
Who else showed interest in you, just so we have kind of a correct, I guess, running tally?
Yeah, so I had FBS offers from Wyoming, Utah State, Army West Point, UNLV, and Nevada, and then some other schools that were looking at me for defense was Wisconsin, Minnesota, and Nebraska mainly. So,
and what made you? Kind of, because I know to some kids, the FBS and FCS, that middle letter can be really, really important. What was it about this fit and this university where that wasn't that important to you? Obviously not important enough to, not have you commit to the Bison.
Yeah, so one big reason for me was I got to play wide receiver at NDSU, which is my favorite position. That's what I want to play at the next level. And then just being around Fargo my whole life, there's not many other schools, even in the FBS level, that compares to the culture at NDSU and just the Fargo Dome on Saturdays. So those are pretty big reasons for me. And the winning tradition and with championships and everything was also big for me.
How much, you see number one out there right now, in green and yellow, that's going to be a NFL combine kid. That's going to obviously be an all-star game kid. That's going to be an NFL draft kid. How much did you kind of understand that, like, okay, there's a very significant role leaving this offense just as I could potentially be coming in?
Yeah. Oh yeah. I thought about that a little bit. He's obviously a great player. I've actually got a chance to meet him a little bit, but, I know
he's been kind of showing the younger guys what it's like to kind of get to that level and be a leader like him. So I'm excited. I know he's going to be gone next year, but I'm excited to kind of learn from the other guys, like Phoenix Rolls and some other guys, too, next year. So.
Yeah, you've got kind of an impressive young group. Yourself, Makai Collins is another three-star kid, and everybody knows about Bryce Lance and the fact that he's been redshirting this year. How cool is it going to be to kind of come up with some real studs and try and infuse some youth into that wide receiver room?
Yeah, it's going to be really fun. I've already talked to those guys. We already have a relationship. We're pretty good friends now, I would say. So it's going to be really fun. I'm really excited for the future.
How's your relationship with Coach Pauly? And I would imagine Randy Hedberg was a big part of your recruitment as well. Mm-hmm. What has your relationship been like with kind of the passing game guys in Randy and Noah?
Yeah, they've been really good to me. We talk all the time still, which is a big thing for me during the recruiting process. They got to know me. And so that's also one of the reasons I chose NDSU, just because I love the coaches, and they like me for me and not just the player I am, which is kind of cool too. So,
you ready to block?
I am ready to block. Yep.
I'm sure they made that pretty clear to you.
Yep. Yep.
How cool? Cause I know, like, and you're obviously too young to kind of probably remember any of this, but a lot of when Gene Taylor and Joe Chapman and Craig Bohl were kind of guiding NDSU into this Division I era, even about FCS level, newspaper columnists, fans, people scared, like, we're never going to see a North Dakota kid play for this university again when they go Division I. We don't have kids like that. I mean, this roster, man, yourself, Nathan Golddaddy, Barik Capinu, Kellen Ent's coming in with you. How awesome is it to have, like, these local all-stars playing Division I football right where their parents can drive 5 minutes, 20 minutes, 40 minutes, whatever it is, to the game? I mean how awesome is that?
Yeah, it's really awesome. Just playing for your hometown, as some guys would tell you, it's amazing, and it seems amazing. So that's going to be really fun. I know we're all excited to finally start playing eventually and get down to NDSU. And yeah.
I'm gonna ask you to comp yourself either to an NFL wide receiver or to a current college wide receiver, and not that you're saying you're as good as that player, but just kind of even stylistically, like, what if a Bison fan is wondering, okay, what kind of player am I getting in Carson Hagerly? And obviously they can go to your huddle, watch your highlights, watch highlights that have been on local news, etc. But who do you model your game after? Who does Carson Hagerly look like on the field?
I would say honestly, Adam Thielen. He's kind of my favorite player in the NFL, just because he was from Minnesota, Detroit Lake. So that's kind of what I look up to. But I would say I'm really a really hardworking player. I also like to block, which is good for NDSU. And then I would say I'm a pretty athletic kid. So.
All right, thank you. Cool. One last thing, and I'll let you go. What are you looking forward to most about your experience at North Dakota State?
I'm looking forward to hanging out with the team and games on Saturdays. That's the two things I'm looking forward to the most. So,
all right, thanks, Carson, and have a phenomenal day tomorrow. Congratulations.
Yep, thank you. Thanks for the call.
Okay, we want to thank Carson for his time. Answering, like, with all of these kids, this is a very, very, very big weekend, or very, very big week for them. A lot of them have finals. Obviously, some of them, signing to their school of choice here at North Dakota State. And man, just cool of them to take time out to chat with us. And we appreciate that. All right, let's get this baby wrapped up. What's your next question?
Last one, I swear, for all you listeners, is what does Ross think is the biggest steal? Now, you can interpret that however a guy that you think should be going to a Power 5 school, a guy that maybe NDSU was able to get at the last minute. Well, who do you think from this entire NDSU recruiting class is the biggest steal for the Bison?
Yeah, I mean, that one's interesting, right? So you go back and you ask about, you know, the biggest steals, if you will, and why are they at NDSU? Because that's, you know, you'd like to think as a Bison fan that there are some kids that if any school in the country offered them, they'd still pick NDSU. I don't know if that kid exists. Maybe Kellen Entz, who's a part of this class as well. But you talk about the Alabamas, the Clemsons. I mean, you even talk about the Minnesotas, the Nebraskas, and the Wisconsins, and more. I mean, there are rare cases like the Noah Gindorfs of the world, but more often than not, you know, you are going to lose those battles. So you talk about the real steals, and whether it's just oversight by a guy like Tim Brewster and just flat out whiffing on Billy Turner and Marcus Williams, whether it's Jabril Cox, who, by the way, was immediately identified by everyone on the team as a legitimate NFL and Power Five athlete. Well, he blows out his knee and he's a quarterback. How does he end up at NDSU as an outside linebacker? ACL injury and not playing linebacker. I mean, that's how he's not at Michigan State. That's right. How Jabril Cox isn't playing for Kansas State. And you kind of can walk yourself through a lot of why aren't they at a bigger school things. Grant Nelson in basketball. If Grant Nelson had grown up in Prior Lake instead of Devil's Lake, he'd probably be a gopher right now. And I mean, but you have to kind of find your ways where these truly, truly, truly elite talents make their way to North Dakota State and aren't quote unquote discovered by other schools. And I think that happened in a coach's kid out of Green Bay, Wisconsin, in Max Rader, 6'6", 250 pounds, suffers a torn labrum in the spring modified football season for the state of Wisconsin, is only able to play one regular season game and his school, Notre Dame Academy's, two playoff games out there in beautiful Green Bay, and is just not put on the radar of the Power Five schools. Ends up as kind of more of a G5 / high FCS level kid, and just doesn't get an offer that he likes better than North Dakota State. Eastern Illinois comes in, FBS's Eastern Michigan comes in. He gets the full Missouri Valley Football Conference slate. You know, I think you and I was in, South Dakota State was in. I would guess that UND and USD would have been in if they thought it was a realistic possibility. But ultimately, this kid doesn't get that Badger offer, doesn't get that Gopher offer, doesn't get whatever, you know, Illinois, whoever you're thinking from that area. And I think he's going to be a stud tackle here at North Dakota State because, I mean, I just don't think that labrum thing is a long-term concern. But what it did was take his film away from the Big Ten and the Big 12.
No doubt. And that's when you mentioned earlier that Minnesota flipped Ashton Beers from North Dakota State. And that's where I had a couple of... Yeah. And that's where it was funny because that same night I had a couple of other Dakota coaches, not from NDSU, slide into the DM saying, good get for Minnesota, but they should also be taking a long look at Max Rader because that kid should be playing at a Power Five institution. So it's not just Ross saying that, it's also other coaches in the Dakotas that think this kid's got a pretty high ceiling, and the fact that he's coming to NDSU.
They would rather he did not go to North Dakota State.
They would much rather he went to a different institution and they don't have to game plan against him for the next 2 to 5 years once he adds some weight there, Ross.
Absolutely. Very, very excited about Max, and we will play my interview with young Max Rader right now. All right, Max Rader, a 6'6" offensive tackle out of the Green Bay area, and the first thing I got to get off the, I mean, Packers fan, correct?
Yeah, for sure. Born and raised Packer fan, go to games pretty regularly.
Love that. So obviously you're aware of Billy Turner, aware of other guys that have been on the roster from North Dakota State. But more than that, the Wisconsin connection, I think part of North Dakota State's success has been, getting the guys from Wisconsin that maybe don't get that Badgers offer, getting the guys from Minnesota that maybe don't get that Gophers offer. Man, you go down the list, you talk about Brock Jensen from Wapaka. You've got studs on the team now from the Badger State. How aware have Coach Gazer and the other guys who've been recruiting you let you know of the lineage of just the absolute dudes that have come right now? Shoot, Cole Wisniewski is making a ton of noise at North Dakota State. How much have you been made aware of the lineage of Wisconsin football in North Dakota State?
It's definitely been a point each, like every now and then they'll bring it up and they use the term hashtag Wisco Bison. So they make it clear that, you know, there is a pipeline from Wisconsin, like my area to Fargo and, you know, the Minnesota area, they do make that pretty clear. And it's pretty cool to see it like now. And then like even looking back at like my own school, there's a guy that went up and played at Fargo and was pretty successful. So they definitely do a great job of sharing that lineage, and it's visible today.
When did you first, what was your first taste of North Dakota State? How did you find out about NDSU? Who started kind of your recruiting process? Did a coach put you in touch with a coach at NDSU, or how did that whole thing get started?
I kind of knew about NDSU for a while. My dad's my high school coach. And so one of his players a couple years ago went out and played there. And so I always kind of knew what NDSU was, and I knew they were a successful program. But then after the spring season, Coach Gazer kind of reached out and we talked a little bit, and then it was Coach Larson. And, they reached out to me first, but it picked up pretty fast from there, talking to my dad and that. Yeah.
So not that you would necessarily need your dad's stamp of approval, but I mean, with him being a coach, he's got to show a lot of trust in NDSU to kind of hand you off for the next level. What are your parents' thoughts on the fit here at North Dakota State?
Each of my parents have been up there twice. My mom went up out there with me once this summer, and then my dad went and I went to the South Dakota game 3 weeks ago, I think it was. And then we both were out there this past weekend for my official visit. And, you know, my dad played football at Wisconsin, and he's been coaching here for 20 years or whatever it is. So he knows high level football when he sees it. He's been around it for a long time now. And just when we got there, it was impressive from the get go, the way they recruited us, or the way they recruited me, and the way they would talk to my dad. And they went through the thorough recruiting process rather than just kind of tossing the offer out there. You know, it took, like, we talked a lot before the offer was even put on the table.
Have you spoken about kind of your fit? I mean, you're a tall kid, long kid. Have they talked to you about left tackle, right tackle, interior? Where do they see you fitting in their plan?
They haven't said right or left yet, but it'll be at a tackle position. I'm 250 right now. So, you know, there will be weight put on, quite a bit of weight put on, but it'll end up being at the tackle position.
How much have you been told about that year that you're about to have with Coach Kramer, the weight adding year and the strength adding year?
Like when I was there this weekend, it's just kind of a running joke. Coach Kramer will be your best friend, but also, you know, your enemy, but not necessarily your enemy. It's just going to be, you're going to see him in your dreams and in your nightmares, because he'll be trying to get you the best you can. And sometimes you just aren't going to enjoy it, but you know, it's for the greater good. It's for your success more than anything else. So, you know, the guys talk about it. It's kind of a joke, but they also know that deep down he cares and he's excited for you no matter what.
How much fun has it been for you to kind of be a part of this program? Because when did you commit? How long has it been? It's been a while.
Yeah, I committed this July. So I sustained a season ending the last game of the spring season we played in the spring and Wisconsin, I tore my labrum in my shoulder, and so that needed to be surgically repaired. So I wasn't really able to do any of the camp circuits this summer. So I went out there, I don't remember, it was mid to end of June, I think, and I went and did some college tours. I was out in Fargo, met with all the coaches, did the tour. That's when they offered me. And then throughout July, or like the early July, like July 4th, I was getting a bunch of texts from coaches, and you know, it just became apparent to me that there was only one coach or one like school I really felt like answering, and that was North Dakota State. And that's kind of when my mind was made up after July 4th. So I committed July 7th.
Sure. So how much fun has it been to really focus on your high school season and also really be able to kind of follow along, not necessarily as part of the team, because that'll of course come the next summer, but really feel like you're following these guys every Saturday.
Yeah, so I wasn't able to play this spring. I ended up playing just three games, our senior night and then our two playoff games, just with my shoulder injury. So, I didn't really get to play myself much this year, but being able to, you know, turn on the game on, you know, my family watched the majority of the games on Saturdays, just on ESPN Plus or whatever, like, I think that's what it's called. So it was just cool. Like, it made it a little easier for me to know that, you know, down the road, I'm going to be a Bison. I'm going to have another chance to play, even though I didn't really get to play this year.
how close is this class? Because I know a lot of the times, you know, there will be big Snapchat groups, big text chains, stuff like that. I mean, how often do you get an opportunity to chat with this class of 2022?
So this weekend was the first time I met most. I hadn't really met any of the guys before this weekend, but once I got there, we met Friday night, and then we all kind of hung out Friday night and Saturday, and they just feel like family already. There's a group chat that someone's texting pretty much every day. We're getting to know each other. I know I Snapchat a bunch of the guys every day now, so we're growing together for sure.
All right, I'm going to ask you one more, and then I'll let you go. You've had a chance to be up in Fargo, had a chance to meet some of your future teammates. What's the one thing, not necessarily the one thing that sold you on NDSU, because I'm sure it's a number of aspects, but what's the one thing that after now being on campus that you're most excited about getting here up to Fargo and kind of continuing your career?
I think the biggest thing I'm excited for is to be around a group of guys who want to be the best at what we can do. It was very apparent to me this weekend that we're going to grow together. You know, you look at the guys who are like playing right now, they're a tight knit group of guys. They're always proud for each other. They're excited for each other. I mean, you watch Cody do his little cartwheel into the first down. He's happy for those guys getting the first down. And so that excites me. Everybody wants each other to be successful. You're on the same team. Even if you're in the same position, you're cheering each other on pretty much no matter what.
All right, Max, we appreciate your time so much. Good luck and congratulations.
Thank you.
All right, we want to thank Max. And you know what, Ryan, I want to thank you and get this bad boy wrapped up, this signing day special. We certainly want to thank Ryan Burns for his time. We want to thank Herd and Horns for being the presenting sponsor of the show. We want to thank all five student athletes that were able to talk to us tonight. Folks, have a phenomenal weekend. We'll talk to you again Friday before JMU, and go Bison.